So really, what differentiates blockchain technology from the normal technology we have today is that normal technology we have today is regulated and centralized.
The main reason why I feel the NFT is really important is because of this. Being able to build relationships with people that are on a different level. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the show. This is the Flat Out Podcast, and I'm your host. Yes, you've seen this face. You've heard the voice. At this stage, I don't think I should be introducing myself like this. I'd be killing a few. Yeah, I've got Nikes on. The weather is getting better over here in the UK, so got to show body small. Summer is coming. Yeah, please, if you're new here, do subscribe to the channel. Subscribe to our audio platforms. It's available everywhere. Just check any of the search engines. We work on our SEO. If you come up, Flat Out will come up, Flat Out Show, it will definitely pop up. So please support, because we have big, big plans for this show. By the end of this month, our website will be up. So yeah, the links will be in the description somewhere. You can check out, you can listen to our podcast. Our blog is going to be out there. Everything. You know, we are growing now, so without our support, for no reason. So please, please, and please continue the support. Today's episode is kind of like a change. I won't say it's a big change because it's something that we always talk about, stuff that is trending, that revolves around basketball. And although this is technology and the new face of the world, it still has its relationship with basketball. We see a lot of athletes who are into the crypto space at this moment. We see a lot of them going into Bitcoin, sponsorship and all that. So it is only right that we discuss it, isn't it? And yes, as always, pass little knowledge and tips. But I can't do that now because I don't know so much. I don't even know anything about crypto. I just have a few coins here and there. But to do that with me, I've got a friend of mine. He's a visual artist. He works with one of the crypto companies in Dubai, the big boy. You see his face, it's puffy and all, big boy. And he also has his own NFTs coming up, but all this and more we'll discuss. Well, I don't want to waste our time. I don't want to waste his time. So let's get him in. Vitalis, thank you for joining the show.
Good evening.
Good evening. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I actually sent you a message on Twitter in case my stuff might be a bit laggy. It's because the Wi-Fi today has just been terrible.
Yeah, I saw it. I just responded now.
Right. All right. Bro,
see your face. What's going on?
I don't even know where to start from, first of all. Well, I mean, I genuinely understand where the question is coming from. Let's just say things are happening. You know they have on those public bus, you know, the young shall grow. So, you know.
I thought you were
so
going
that, to... that was basically it, man.
I thought you were going to put on the what do you call it, the ring you got now. You're not giving us that piece of Vitalis on the show.
that one is just for cruise, man. Just for cruise. Nothing much, really.
No wala. No wala.
Appreciate it, man.
But yeah, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me on board. It's seriously a pleasure. It's really a pleasure, man.
Yeah. Let's get straight into it. Vitalis is a visual artist, is a crypto engineer.
Enthusiast.
But you work for one of the companies in Dubai now, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, as the case may be. As the case may be.
What the hell? So, thank you for even coming up and trying to give us some knowledge on this whole crypto space. Blockchain technology is like taking over the world. Like everything we do nowadays, we talk about it. Even those that don't know anything about it, we actually try to learn because we see it as the future.
Mm-hmm.
What makes blockchain technology special to you? Like, if you were to describe it in layman terms for us to understand, what's the big deal?
Right. So really, what differentiates blockchain technology from the normal technology we have today is that normal technology we have today is regulated and centralized.
Okay.
Now, that's like the simplest way to put it, because blockchain, with the blockchain technology, everybody is their own. It's like as if everybody's their own, like as if everybody owns whatever is allocated to them.
Okay.
I suppose, okay, let's take Facebook, for example. Facebook is a company, so they have their own centralized server. So if you're sending a message, if you're using Facebook, everything is passing through their server and, you know, giving you the information, right?
Yeah.
But with the blockchain, everything is more so individual. When I say individual, it means that everyone is their own server. So everyone is their own, almost as if everyone is their own network. So it's very individual. Everything's very decentralized, as we see. And another thing is that everything's very transparent as well. There was a, so like, assuming now you make a transaction on the blockchain, you're actually, okay, now if you make a transaction normal with your banks,
yeah,
the only person that can see that transaction is yourself and the bank, right?
Yeah.
Right? And anyone that you possibly that you share the transaction with, right? That's it. But with the blockchain, any and everyone can see all your transactions. That's the transparency.
But that could be a good and a bad thing.
Correct.
Yeah.
That is very correct. Now, that's where security obviously comes in. There are layers of security, obviously, because with something like this, the whole decentralization has its pros and its cons. The pros of it is that, okay, everyone can see that, okay, money has been moved from this wallet to that wallet. But the thing is that money, the wallets, the whole wallet movement, the whole money movement on the blockchain is all encrypted. So it's not as if it's saying Vitalis is sending money to Komo,
yeah,
or Komo is sending money to this person. It's like this code, this hash code is sending money to this other hash code. So
okay,
you could be seeing a million hash codes, but you never know who it is.
Oh, okay.
Exactly.
Okay. That sounds good. Especially with what the banks are doing to us nowadays with them charges. Honestly, brother, it is annoying. Like yesterday, I looked at my bank account like that. They removed some kind of money and I'm like, what are you people doing? I've not even used the card for ages. What are you doing to my money?
The thing is card maintenance fee.
No, card maintenance. The card that is in my wallet or in my pocket. What are you maintaining? But yeah, the first time we met was, in fact, that was the first time I even met Valentine. For those who
right,
don't know, Valentine is a madman. My brother is a friend. The way we met up was crazy, but we'll definitely have him on the show and we'll talk about how we got together. But yeah, you are a video editor, you're a visual artist, and like
yeah,
I said, you've been in the crypto space for a while. Talk to me about your journey going from just being the guy that has been into art for so long, then transitioning
yeah,
into being this crypto enthusiast, like you said.
Right, right. So it was really like a bunch of leap of faith, to be honest. So the thing is that a lot of things that I've done and the kind of like life that I've been living is very,
very scattered.
Thank you. It's really that, like, because it's not your typical, oh, you go to school, graduate, go to maybe university, all of that. Like, it's really, it wasn't all that. I didn't really graduate properly. Mm-hmm. Even after graduation, I didn't know, nothing was proper. So everything was just like, everything was like DIY. Just do everything yourself.
Right.
So that's how I've even like, it was really during the pandemic, like, obviously the pandemic was not the best time for a lot of people, but also for even more people the pandemic was an ideal period for them, because
yeah,
they were able to discover themselves better. Some people were able to even boost their business, you know, there was a lot of things going on.
Uh-huh.
So during that period, right before the lockdown in Nigeria hit in Lagos, I had gotten my first job as a substitute art teacher from the school I had just graduated from roughly 6 months prior.
Okay.
So I had gotten my first pay. They actually still paid me, even though I didn't work a full month, they still paid me completely. And I used, as soon as I got my first pay, you know now. Can't say too much, but you know. So yeah, I got in my first pay, and immediately the first thing I got was some art materials and a tripod for my camera, because I knew, okay, well, I'm going to be at home, I'm going to be away from lots of people for a while, so I need to be creating things, I need to just keep myself busy. That way I created, as a result of that, I'd done a lot of artworks. I literally covered my entire room in paintings, and it basically looked like a shrine.
It is a shrine.
Exactly. It basically was a shrine. Then fast forward a couple, like some months later, like towards the end of the year, that was early 2020. So fast forward to late 2020, I was making plans to move to Dubai just to, like, you know, find something for myself, you know, to keep the ball rolling, that type of thing. Since I'm not going to school, I might as well keep the ball rolling while we're not back. So we headed over to Dubai. Then roughly a month later, in my stay in Dubai, I got in contact with this crypto company. These guys are into crypto and whatnot. Just like the person, they reached out to an associate of mine. Yeah. And they said, okay, we need someone that's actually into like videography, media, all of that stuff. I'm like, oh yeah, sure, that's my thing. So I got in, did the interview immediately. Oh, sure, you're the right guy for the job. I was like, okay, this DIY is not so bad. So after that, I immediately wrote, not long after I joined the company, I immediately got approached with the opportunity to actually learn crypto and what the whole company is about. So I was like, I think about me is that at that point in time, and even till now, I'm always still open to learning new things. So I said, sure, why not? Even though I even had to pay a fee to join some academy, to join some, to actually have a solid course, not any free YouTube tutorial. So I paid, and I was like, cool. I was learning everything, and that's really how it all started. So it's almost like one thing literally led to another. You know when they say one thing led to another? That was literally it. So from there, I really just got really exposed to the whole crypto space. And I realized that I actually loved it, because I do have a thing for technology, for, you know, tech and all of that stuff. And I love bridging the gap between things. So shortly after NFTs, this whole NFT stuff started booming, and it was like the perfect middle ground for art, media, and then crypto, tech, all of that. So that's really just how everything happened.
Glad I even talked about NFTs now, because we're going to get into that. Non-fungible tokens, am I right or wrong?
You're right.
Yeah. Anthony, I can't remember his surname now, but he's one of the biggest
Azeko.
He's one of the biggest things in Nigeria when it comes to NFTs. And he had a thread a while back about how NFT changed his life and the things that he's been able to do. Now,
right.
Why are NFTs so important, like in today's age?
Right.
Because I see a lot of NFTs coming up. We've got the Invincible Friends, but there's this other ones I saw. I wanted to know.
CryptoPunks, all of them.
Why is it so important in this age?
So NFTs, actually, just so we're clear, like just to lay down this ground, let me just put this note out there.
Because it's also mean.
Is that when in the very, very early stages of this NFT, like everything we're seeing right now, we're just getting started. All these, let's say, money that's been made, all these profits that have been generated, and all these lives that have been changed, it's just only the beginning of the old NFT. I call it the NFT craze. Like, you know. So here's the thing with NFTs. NFTs actually serve a wide range of, you know, audience, but right now it's favoring the artist the most, because that is, like, let's say, the most efficient way to utilize NFTs. You get me? So how do we utilize NFTs as artists? Now, it seems that NFTs have created a platform or an option. It has revolutionized the option and the, you know, leverage that artists have to sell themselves, their artwork. Sorry, like, obviously, selling your artwork is selling yourself to the to the community, or the commodity rather, marketplace and all of that. So NFTs have created that platform. And how did they create that platform? By the thing that, before, we didn't really have a way to really put a price tag on our digital works.
Yeah,
everything was very, like, to be honest, even in Nigeria, I mean, as a Nigerian living, currently living in Nigeria, the way people used to price artists, it's like tomato, as in, this is artist and this is tomato. very alike. So NFTs had sort of created a standard, and it created that standard because they're not just artworks, but they also work as tokens. Now, there are many to what we call one of one pieces or rare, unique pieces. Mm-hmm. But if you see those like Bored Ape, CryptoPunk, you see that they all look similar but with different attributes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Those ones are usually what we call, those ones are more of tokens. Like, obviously, all of them are tokens, but those ones are actually tokens with utility, with like many more. When we say utility, we mean use cases. Because if you now own a Bored Ape, you're actually going to join the private, they have a private Discord server, whatever, that you can actually get in contact with people in high class. Mm, because those people in high class also own the Bored Ape.
Hold on. Because I had to actually read up on this thing. I'm really interested because you guys are my friends. You're into it. Josh Adeboye is into it. And that's so the Discord of a thing, this is what I found out. Like, the main reason why I feel the NFT is really important is because of being able to build relationships with people that are on a different level.
True.
That is how me I see it. Now, you mentioned the Discord. You have a Discord coming up. We'll talk about your own. This guy. Yeah. Talk about that. But given that this Discord is in place, you said you can actually connect to all these people. How do you think those people actually connect back to you in the Discord space?
Okay. As a matter of fact, many of them actually do. Because we've seen even folks like Paris Hilton constantly almost become like an ambassador for NFTs. Now, I don't want to put a stamp or, you know, a label or anything, but as the case may be, even ironically, even Justin Bieber had, early this month, he actually even purchased a Bored Ape for roughly around, don't mind me if I'm wrong, but around $900 to $1.17 million. So like that's some of the things that, obviously, now if you spend that much money, even if you're not always going to be on there, but you will join sometimes, just to see what is going on with your money.
Right.
Exactly. So that's the thing. They might not always be active or online or whatever. And mind you, that is just one of the many utilities. Now, with Bored Ape, they actually built a coin now, a coin system now, a coin being that the holders of the, I believe is that the holders of the Bored Ape NFT, they get airdropped, they're basically the Bored Ape coin. And that can be used in exchanges for real world value, you see? And on top of that, which is actually something I'm currently working on, even for my own project, but let's not digress. Like you see on the board, even like they're actually building personalities. Like for each ape, board ape that you own, they're actually creating like the whole digital embodiment of it, so that you can actually have a personality in the metaverse, stuff like that with the board ape. So there are lots of use cases, and less. I forget about one of the most basic utilities for owning a Bored Ape is that you can join their virtual room and their virtual bathroom, sorry, and draw on the bathroom walls. I'm not joking. I am not even joking.
No, this is my thing.
It's crazy. I'm telling you, it's people like just come up. People are just creative with the utilities, because some people's utility is maybe to help some, like maybe a community to help this. Like, look at 018 here. He runs Afro Joints, and it's also one of the biggest like collection NFT in Nigeria. Don Jazzy even bought some last year. And just this month, they have finished building a school here in Nigeria for kids that are into arts. As in, and they're really, like, they built an entire school for them. They're doing so many things, and like, these are the many, like, utilities, and obviously people are now taking advantage of that, obviously, like, for the one that actually offering utility and the one that are not. So I'm just going to put that out there that people are taking advantage of it, but the goal, the vision still remains the same, that we offer utility for those that are doing like collections, and at the same time other people like Anthony offer their pure art, and even like Josh, we offer our pure art. We want people to appreciate our art for what it really is, and later on we still build utilities on top. Maybe we could give you something, you know, for holding our artworks. So
well, that's great, man. Value continues to go rise up as it comes, and it makes a lot of sense. I'm going to be purchasing some of them NFTs. I owe
ladies and gentlemen, we have a collector on board.
Don't let it seem like I have plenty of money, please. Just hold yourself.
see. I'm not saying anything, but just said
But for real, like, I like the idea of it, and I really want to learn a lot more. More reason why I brought you on the show, because in sport, when the crypto.com platform purchased the naming rights of the Staples Center, it was $700 million they purchased. I was like, so there's money in this crypto thing like this. Like, I quickly signed up, bought some one of their coins, the Kronos or whatever. I bought a lot of it quickly. Like, maybe the stocks are going to step up. And and over the time, like I said, we've seen a lot of basketballers get into NFTs, go into crypto. Steph, Clay, Iguodala, they're collecting part of their salaries and bitcoins and all that stuff going on. So the world is actually changing and adapting to it. But I also think like, banks don't want to change. They don't want to adopt this new technology. And why do you think that is?
So the thing is that banks, now, I do not intend on throwing shades to the bank, but then
throw shades. They are very useless people. Collecting my money.
Don't mind me, I'm just trying to be very TV. I'm trying to be TV formal. But regardless of that, so the banks are based in a centralized system. Centralized system being that the CBDC, CBN, like for Nigerians, so the CBN that controls the whole banking system in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. So it's a central body of authority that controls that means there's regulation. Every money moving around the country is regulated.
Yeah.
But now with cryptocurrencies, nothing is really regulated. That's one of the many reasons why the bank is not a huge fan of cryptos, because things are not regulated. And if things are not regulated, things cannot be taxed. Oh, you see?
That's true.
All of our transactions are taxed one way or another. But with crypto, there isn't really much tax going on. Now, the only tax that's going on is just transaction fee. And who benefits from the transaction fee is still the crypto people. Because now we have what we call crypto miners, the people that help confirm, you know, crypto transactions in the blockchain. So it's almost like the government is now left, the government and the banking system is left out of the loop. And they're like, where's my money? These are my people, where's my money? That type of thing. So that's one of the many reasons why the bank is not a huge fan of it. And also another reason why many countries are currently working on what we call CBDC, which is Central Bank Digital Currency. And Nigeria is actually the first country in the world to produce the...
Nobody is purchasing anything. Nobody is getting that coin. Let's all be honest with ourselves. With everything going on in Nigeria, who gives a shit?
Exactly. The wallet service that was even providing eNaira, which was the first CBDC, was a flop. It was buggy. Everything was just faulty.
Nigeria is faulty. God forgive me.
That is the best way to summarize Nigeria as faulty. So really, that's the case. Yeah. So eNaira was the way for Nigeria to obviously regulate digital currencies, not even just crypto, but digital currencies in general, and, you know, regulate being also taxing it in some way. But as we can all see, that's not the case anymore.
You're not working out.
At all.
Yeah, let's move over to your project, The Heirs of Orisha. So people that don't know about African mythology or Nigerian mythology.
Nigerian mythology.
Yeah. Orisha simply means demigods. And this man has taken his time to bring it to the forefront. Now, what was the inspiration behind it?
So, here's the thing. I do have quite a thing for mythologies, all of that.
I noticed.
I grew up reading all of that. So, but most especially for the past 2 years, I've read more than 30 plus books on mythology, you know, the Percy Jackson, the this, the that. I was reading, going back to back, reading all of them. But eventually I landed on the fact that I've only read two proper Nigerian mythology books. And it was just, and the two are, and they're very successful, but like the only Nigerian mythology that are very marketable, and that's Children of Blood and Bone. It's by Tomi Adeyemi. She's an American, Nigerian American author. And I realized, I was like, you know what, this is beautiful. Now, I'd read this book like a year, 2 years ago. But then, you know, for the past 6 months, last year, okay, let me not jumble things up too much. But basically last year, I'd got into NFTs and crypto. So I've been, don't lie, there's been lots of peer pressure. Like everyone kept saying, Vitalis, you're an artist now, draw something, do NFT, draw something. People, like, it's really not that easy to just, the thing that I could have easily drawn something and mint, I say, oh, here's my NFT, but the thing is that I genuinely want to create value, long-lasting value. Yeah. That's the difference I'm trying to make. So I like to take my time with things like this. I mean, this Heirs of Orisha, I've actually been working on it since like the second week of January this year. So as in, I'd even, just all the heirs, all the demigods, I finished drawing them since early February. But it's like just now that many people are even seeing a lot of it, because I'm taking my time to strategize, like make sure everything I do is like, at least I know a possible outcome. So how I got the idea was that, funny thing is, if you do remember how any of them look, there's one, the one I call Oyindamo Taiwo. She has purple hair, she has like the whole pineapple on her head.
Yeah,
that one. She was actually the first one I drew. And I was actually just practicing. Like, I go back to Lagos, like, let's say on the 8th of January. Then by the 10th of January, I was just like on my laptop practicing my drawing. And I was just using someone as reference. And I was practicing, and it was not bad. And after some time, I think the next day, one of my work associates, my colleagues, looked at it, saw it, and they were like, this looks very nice. And I was like, that's true. I said, that's true. And then it was like, this is like some of those, you know, Mr. Carl. I was like, So, you know, we were getting the vibe. Like, the drawing came naturally to me. But, you know, we were getting the vibes from it. So he eventually mentioned some things. He said, this was like one of them, you know, girls on Orisha. I was like, Orisha. What if we make a collection? Like, in my mind just clicked, what if I make a collection of, you know, Orishas? They were like, that would be too easy. Like, just if I can just go on Google, get a reference of what Shango is supposed to look like, I can just easily do that. I'm like, why don't I create like a subcategory, like a subhuman level, sub-god level, which is obviously demigods. We don't really have much about that in Nigeria, but we do have the gods. We do have the Ogun, the Shango, all of that. So that's where the Heirs of Orisha came from. And the thing is that, not the best part about it is that I genuinely enjoyed the process till now. Like, the story writing, everything comes fluently. I created the characters. When I look at them, it's almost like I can see their personalities. So I'm able to write everything out, because I think that I'm trying to get my, whoever is collecting the Heirs of Orisha, I'm trying to get them involved. And the thing here is that as I'm creating those storylines, I'm also, like, I'm creating the base storyline for everybody to understand what they're getting themselves into. But now, those that actually buy any of the Heirs of Orisha, any of the demigods, they're actually able to now dictate the future of those demigods. So the thing is that I'm actually building what we call, in cryptocurrency, we call this a DAO. DAO. Just say DAO sometimes. And who has time to be saying DAO? Come on. So we just say DAO. And DAO is Decentralized Autonomous Organization.
Okay.
A decentralized autonomous organization is basically the opposite of a centralized organization like Facebook, this and that. So instead of it being centralized, it's decentralized. So why I'm saying this now is because the people that own the demigod, it's almost like they have a stake in the company.
Okay.
The company being the heads of Richard Project. Mm-hmm. Now our own incentive to you owning a stake in the project is that you're now able to detect you're able to dictate where the project is heading. So that type of thing, the story of the project, like you're able to dictate where it's heading and more. Like I'm currently in talks with some other projects to see how we can integrate and make sense of the whole thing and everybody collects their fair share, stuff like that. So a lot of things are in works and I'm like, we're already dropping in like 2 weeks from now, exactly rough. Yeah, 2 weeks
April
from now.
And, 8th. April 8th.
April save the 8th. Date. Save the date.
April 8th for sure. Guys, I have it on my phone already. So yeah, let's check out what this man is doing.
I don't know, see collector.
For real, man. I'm really excited about it. I'm excited about it all because, like I said, I've got friends, you, Josh. I've got one of my female friends, Wande, who is also an artist. She has these wonderful pieces, and I need some of these pieces for real. Like, let's grow together. That's my own thing. Let's just grow together. That's
a good thing.
Yeah, man. It's been wonderful talking to you. But before I let you go, back to crypto coins.
Yeah,
there's a lot of volatile coins out there now, the ones that will bust your head, bust the bubble. I remember my brother-in-law purchased like 20,000 of one certain coin, and the next day he tossed everything in the garbage. Like, what is this? Hey, Nick Bami, this was what I was ranting. Victor, show me. I want people to hear where they go. What's up with my family? I was like, who sent you the message? Because you had money. But if you advise people on certain stable coins, we all know that these coins go up and down with everything going on.
Yeah.
So there are a few stable coins that you can actually invest in, trade. I'm not a trading guy. I'm just buy and hold because I really don't know about this. So I just.
Fair enough.
So what are these coins that you say, okay, you can check this out and you can study it. And definitely over time, you should be able to gain a profit also.
Right. So for a start, this is not financial advice. I am not a financial advisor.
Disclaimer. Before they come for you.
I swear, I will block any number that calls me. So first of all, disclaimer, this is not financial advice. Well, as I was saying, here's the thing about crypto. Yes, so like you mentioned, there are many volatile coins and yet they're also stable coins. So many times you can actually go with USDT. I mean, the one I personally use a lot is USDT and BUSD. BUSD is Binance, stable coin. And obviously that one just retains the US value, like the US dollar value. So it's not as if, how Bitcoin is, one Bitcoin is $40,000.
Yeah.
USD, USDT, one USDT or one BUSD is $1. So it's a 1-to-1 pairing.
Yeah.
So normally that's actually where I do all my savings in, like at least 70-80% of my savings is always in stable coin. And the thing is that I use Binance a lot because I like the versatility of Binance because I used to trade a lot when I first started. I got into the crypto space and I was like, I also got pushed into trading. So, I'm familiar with trading. I'm familiar with the complexity of the exchanges. So I like using Binance. So with Binance now, you can actually do this thing called flexible staking. Okay. Flexible staking is basically like flexible saving where you get an interest.
Uh-huh.
And if you save in that Binance flexible staking, you can actually, if you save for a year, you can get up to 10%. And I'm just like, that is actually a better bargain than keeping my money in Naira and then I get maybe 8% from exactly because of the inflation, the this and that. Exactly. So I try to always hedge my, you know, I always try to hedge against inflation. So, and I'm very, very conscious of inflation.
Everybody is at this point.
Hey. As in, there's no way you cannot be aware of inflation. Even if you don't know what it is, you know what it is by force.
They said egg is now 200 naira. I'm like, yes, you to shock you people.
I bought bag of pure water for 300 naira this month.
My brother, Ninja, man.
One bag of pure water, 300 naira.
Crazy.
Oh, voila. So that's really it. So, but if for those people that are into, that want to really, let's say, get in on the crypto train and whatnot, that also want to make a proper profit, not like 10% in a year, but they want to make more profits than that. Obviously, you're looking at altcoins, what we call altcoins, which is alternative to Bitcoin. But I feel like that term is kind of getting old, because Bitcoin doesn't really have an alternative anymore. They're just cryptocurrencies now. That's just how I see it. Everybody's equal rights. So let's do equal rights even for cryptocurrency at this point. So if you want to, you can actually go into some other volatile coins. I'd always suggest my number one coin will always still be Bitcoin, because it has volatility, but it has healthy volatility. Then Ethereum, you can see, I beg for those that are listening. I'm not saying you should go.
This man is going to claim his name 2%.
I'm not saying you should go and buy anything. All I'm saying is, whatever coin I mentioned, please take an entire 1 month out to do research. I'm not even joking.
Yes.
Take at least 1 month out of your life, as in out of your investing life, just to do research.
But you know, Nigerians don't listen. This is what they're asking. You're just testing yourself. You've only put the disclaimer out. Anything that you want to do, that's your business.
Honestly, I see. My mom just said, whether they listen or not, let me be on the safe side. So when the FCC...
They are coming for both of us. It's me and you.
it's because you're not in Lagos. That's why you're talking like that. This guy. Jesus. So, that's really it. There are a bunch of other coins that I could have mentioned, but... I'm not going to. I'm just going to say they're the usual Bitcoin, Ethereum. From there on, you guys can do your further research, and please take at least a month out to do research. Don't feel pressure to see. Peer pressure is one thing that makes people lose money in the crypto space. I mean, like you just mentioned earlier about your brother, it's always the peer pressure. I mean, look at late last year, we had major shitcoin, you know, boom. Like lots of all these Shiba Inu weird ass name coins. The one that bust my head, some cum rockets. So I'm just like, how do you guys are too creative with these names. You're too creative with these names, and people would eventually still. Did you see the one Squid Game?
Yes, I did.
The Squid Game.
I did.
Why I say it was an elaborate scam is because they, right off of the hype of Squid Game, they created the coin saying that, oh, they're creating a video game around it, and that when you buy your token, you get access to this. That's how people invested all their money. The coin literally did like this.
Boom.
And you know why? Because as people were investing, the creators were looking, once if they reach the take profit side. Exactly. They took it out. And you know the thing is that the people that invested, you know, there's a way you can actually create your coins and you can list them on exchanges or whatever. The people that put in their money cannot remove money.
That's insane though.
That's one of the downsides of cryptocurrencies, because people can now manipulate their way in the market. Just a reminder to everybody that we're still in the very early stages of cryptocurrency. The crypto market is just roughly 12 years old. Or is it? Yeah, roughly around 12 to 13 years old.
Yeah.
Okay. The stock market is more than 100 plus years old.
Leave the stock market alone, please. I've had my own fair share of trouble.
The thing, I won't lie, that is true. But I mean, now we even have the S&P 500, so it helps bring stability to the market in some way. Sure. So, I mean, and that obviously the S&P 500 didn't just, it wasn't there from the beginning.
Fact.
It was built over time. for people to safely invest in the market. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the same thing for the crypto market. Right now, we do not have an S&P 500, but we do have many other avenues that have been, that are currently being built to create stability in the market and to reduce all this fraudulent movement.
Yeah, everything takes time, but I think one thing that has always been with I'm always going to spotlight Nigerian because I'm Nigerian and I know how we think. We're always about getting it quickly and getting out of there. And that is why a lot of people fall into the scams and not understanding the whole picture and just jumping into it. But we'll be fine. Mm-hmm. We'll be fine.
That's last.
One more thing. I remember there was a time we talked about the company you work for, Aegea International.
Right.
They used to do this investment stuff at the time. I'm not sure if it's still on. Yeah, I'm actually because it seems I want to invest. I want to put my money somewhere that will bring money for me. And I'm putting it on air. So please just give us a little breakdown about that before you run away.
So the company is actually LiveBlocks, and it actually works as a crypto hedge fund company. Mm-hmm. And here's how it works. Now, mind you, I'm currently not with the company as a first party. I'm actually now a third party, more of an affiliate, just to clarify my staking in the company or anything.
No.
More of an affiliate. Exactly. So as of just a simple breakdown of everything, that it's a crypto hedge fund. So what they do is, it's just a way for you to invest your money. And as opposed to having your, let's say, fiat, which is your Naira, whatever, in the banks, you can just keep it in crypto. And as opposed to just having it in stable coin, where it's just sitting dormant, you know, although it's in USD or whatever, but it's sitting dormant, it's being traded for you. You see? So it's being traded for you on your behalf. Thank you. That's what many people don't know. The bank is trading your money.
Yeah.
People think, oh no, I trust the bank. Okay, no. So exactly, it's almost like banking but with crypto. And obviously, you know, with crypto you have slightly more advantage.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go and say, oh, the profit is immense. No, it's not, because it's not safe. You can't go and be promising somebody 20% every month, 15%.
People don't think, how will you even get 50% every month? Are you into drugs? what are you thinking about getting 50% every month?
That is black market something.
Crazy.
So it's not feasible. So I'm not really, to be very honest, I'm not really sure of the current rates, but I do know that it's roughly around, I think in 6 months, I think, I don't know, 10%, something like that. I'm not sure, but everything can be discussed off air, just so I don't go and do wrong an advertisement for somebody's company.
Definitely. Well, man, thank you for joining us, bro. I really, really appreciate you taking our time.
My pleasure.
And I know Valentine is going to be pissed when he sees this, but that's his own problem.
Hey, Val. Just to add a little salt.
Thank you a lot. Thank you.
I appreciate you. Thank you for having me on board.
Definitely. Really, we are looking forward to your project coming out. And
8th of April. Save the date.
For sure.
Save the date. Thank you all very much. Man. Thank you, Komo. I appreciate you, man.
Cheers, my man. See you next time, people. Stay safe and stay frosty. This is Flat Out.
Yes, sir.